Thank you for joining us today for a Bible study, and we are studying from the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we had a class last week on chapter 1. I'd like to review that with you. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, we are being told how God wants us to behave. This is instructions on how to be a Christian. This is what Christians do. And let me review very briefly what we discussed last week about what this book contains in chapter 1. First of all, in verse 3, a Christian is someone who has works of faith. A Christian is someone who labors of love and has patience of hope. And I hope that describes you. I hope you're a worker. I hope you have a great faith. I hope you labor. And you labor because you love the Lord, and I hope that you are patient and you have the greatest hope of heaven that can exist. That's what a Christian is. And if, of course, we're to add on to those things. We're not just to reach a certain level and then say, that's enough. But second of all, we are people who are of the election of God, verse 4. God has chosen us in Christ Jesus to be his people. In the next place, we are people who are afflicted, verse number 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. We are a people who are happy when we are afflicted. We don't go around moping. That's not what God wants in your life. We are the most blessed people in all of the world, and we need to realize that and live like it. Live like you're blessed and don't live like you're cursed. God wants you to be happy. In the next place, verse number 8, we are to sound out the word of God. What does the church do? The church is a place that saves souls, and we save souls by sounding out the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our work. That's our labor. It's mentioned up in verse number 3. The labor of the church, the work of the church, is to try to get souls to hear the gospel so they can obey the gospel. In the next place, in verse 9, God wants a Christian to be a changed person. This verse says that they had turned from idols and turned to the living and true God. That's what a Christian is. He's turned to the living and true God, and he's given up all the gods of this world and all the entrapments of this world. And so a Christian is a soul winner. A Christian is a person who works and labors. He has faith and love and hope. A Christian is a person who sounds out the word of God. But in verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says the Christian is someone who waits for the Son of God from heaven. We're waiting for him to come. We're anticipating him to come. And so that's what a Christian is. Now, we just reviewed our last week's study of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And as we're studying what God wants you to be as a Christian, and so that's what they wanted them to be back then, what God wanted them to be back then. That's what God wants us to be today. Now we move to chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. And in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "For yourselves, brethren, know the entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." Now Paul had come to the city of Thessalonica. He had preached the gospel, and it wasn't in vain. Verse 2, "But even after we had suffered before and were shamefully treated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God in much contention." Christians are people who suffer, and they suffer for the gospel. We should be ready for that and prepared for that. That should not catch us off guard. And you read your New Testament, it took place in the first century. And also, when history teaches us in the second century, in the third century, that the church suffered at the hands of the Romans, at the hands of people who were against them. They suffered greatly, and they were tested. And they lasted through those afflictions. They didn't give up the faith. And that's what God wants us to do. Jesus suffered, Peter suffered, Paul suffered. All the Christians you read about in the Bible, and even those before Christians, such as Moses and Jeremiah and Daniel, they all suffered serving God. So a part of our life is to suffer and to be patient, long-suffering, to take it, to accept it, and not give up the faith. God doesn't want us giving up the faith. But in our suffering, notice verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, but even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. What does God want us to do as we speak the gospel? He wants us to be bold. The gospel has come from heaven, and God wants us to preach it. And God wants us to preach it boldly, not like a little scaredy cat. We are trying to please God, not man. And if man doesn't agree with it, we're to preach it boldly anyway. We're not trying to please men. We're trying to please God. And so God wants his word to be spoken boldly. We're not going to apologize for the Bible. We're not going to say, I'm sorry, but the Bible says you have to stop sinning. We're not going to do that. We're going to speak boldly. We're going to speak lovingly and kindly and politely and with courtesy. That's what a Christian is, but we're still going to speak the gospel boldly because it is from God and because it is the power to save souls. And that's the way God wants it to be proclaimed. Verse number 3, what else does God expect of us? For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. What did they do back then? They exhorted people. They exhorted one another. That's what we're told to do. Hebrews 3 and verse 13 tells us to exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. Are you encouraging anybody today? What about your husband? What about your wife? What about your children? What about someone who's struggling and having troubles? We're to be encouraging people. Let's get busy and do what God has told us to do. Verse number 4. But as we were allowed of God, isn't that beautiful? We were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. God has entrusted us with the gospel. And so we are servants of God. We're not servants to this world. We serve the living God, and he wants us to preach his word boldly. And we're not here to make man happy. We're here to make God happy. Man will be happy if he obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we want man to do. And so God tells us to exhort one another. God tells us to that you're put in trust. You're a steward of the word of God. Let's do our jobs right. Let's be good stewards of his word. Verse 5 says, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. We're not seeking worldly money. We're not doing it out of covetousness. Paul, we don't preach the gospel because we're going to get some money out of it. Don't let these TV preachers deceive you into believing if, you know, you give God money, God's going to return and make you rich. That's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus wasn't rich. Paul wasn't rich financially. He didn't want to be. And so we are entrusted with the gospel. We're not here to flatter people. If a politician came into our assembly, we wouldn't try to flatter him. We would preach the gospel strongly and powerfully to him. And so we're not seeking worldly glory. We're seeking favor with God. It says in verse 6, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. We're not seeking glory. You know, Jesus, the Bible says in Philippians 2, made himself of no reputation. Jesus never lived in a mansion. He never rode in a fine chariot. He never had anything. Matter of fact, Jesus told one man, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air has nest, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And so let's realize we're not here to seek worldly glory. We're not here to please men. We're here to please God. That's what God is expecting of us. God is expecting us to accept suffering, to speak boldly, to exhort others, to handle the gospel correctly, to not flatter people, to not seek worldly glory. But here's what he wants you to do. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Paul lived the Christian life as it should be. And what did he do with people? Well, he was gentle. Sometimes Christians can be so mean and harsh with one another. It's not funny. It's not encouraging for us to be harsh and cold with one another. Let's not practice that. Let's practice being gentle. And that means being gentle with our words, gentle with our deeds. Let's be kind and gentle people. That's what God wants us to be, meek, gentle. But furthermore, he says, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. He gives an illustration there. Be gentle. How do you want us to be gentle? As a nurse with children. Be gentle as you would with a little child. Isn't that something? That's beautiful. But what else does God want of us as Christians? Well, verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. God wants great affection. Let's care about one another. Let's care about our troubles. If you have trouble, I want to care about that. If you have reason to rejoice, I want to rejoice with you. I want to weep with those that weep, and I want to rejoice with those that rejoice. I want to feel what you feel, because we're family. Christians are members of God's family, and we are to be affectionate. We are to be gentle, and we are to care for one another. But now verse 9 says, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. Look at that, labor. What do Christians do? They labor. Travail. We suffer danger. We face danger. For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Now, that meant he was self-supporting. He didn't want to burden those people there. He didn't want to act like he was covetous. And so they worked night and day so that they could support themselves and be able to preach the gospel in that place. That's being sacrificial, and that's what we are to be. We're to be workers, not idle. God doesn't want the church to be a bunch of do-nothings, a bunch of lazy folks. He wants us to be working and busy. That's what he wants. That's what a Christian is. He's a worker. You know what the church is? It's a workplace. The Bible says we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building, 1 Corinthians 3 and 9. We are laborers with God. We're God's husbandry. What is that? That's like a vineyard where you work. We are God's husbandry. We are workers. That's what a Christian is. We're not idle. Now notice verse 10. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily, justly, and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Now that tells us our behavior. We are to behave properly. God is holy, we're to be holy. Jesus was blameless, we're trying to be blameless. We don't want to be known as a bunch of liars and deceivers and cheaters. No, we want to be blameless. We want to live holy. We want to be just and righteous people. That's what a Christian is. I hope you're living that kind of life, because that's the kind of life God wants you to live. The book of 1 Thessalonians is a great book that teaches us what God is expecting of his people and how we are to live, and we're studying that right at this point. Now, also in verse number 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. As a father doth his children. And so what was Paul's behavior? He was behaving like a father with his children. Well, how is that? Well, he exhorted them. He comforted them. And he charged them. That's what we're to do. You know, a father tells his children, now you better behave. You better act right. You better not act bad. Your father will get upset. And so that's how we are to act. He's telling us how Christians act with one another. We're comforting. We're gentle. We're patient. We're holy. We're unblameable. That's what God wants. It's what he wants in your life. That's what he wants in my life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 goes on to say in verse 12 of chapter 2, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. We're to walk as Christ walked. That's walking worthily. Let's walk the best we can. Let's try to live the best as we can as Christians. That's what God wants. Then we get to verse 13, one of my favorite verses of this entire book. It says, for this cause also thank we God. We're to be thankful to God, aren't we? Thankful to God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, we're studying the Word of God right now. We've been studying chapter 1. We're studying chapter 2. Let's receive this as the very Word of God. Let's do what they did back then. And then, let's let it be in our minds. Let's allow it to effectually work in us. Let's let it do its job. Form you into the person we've been reading about, that you may become a child of God. You may be the person that God wants you to be. I love this verse. Let's receive the word of God as it is in truth, not the words of the preacher, not the words of Paul, but the very words of God. And let them change your life and develop your life so that you might become a mature Christian. What a great and powerful verse that is. But verse 14 says, for you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. They were followers of that first church. We are to be followers of the very first church. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So the Greeks were suffering at the hands of the Greeks, and the Jewish people were suffering at the hands of the Jewish people. They were following that first example of the church in Jerusalem, and that's what we're supposed to do. That's why we're reading these things now, so that we can be exactly today what they were back then. But this is how brutal they became, verse 15, who both kill the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and how persecuted us. And they please not God and are contrary to all men. They're not helping the world, and they're not pleasing God by persecuting the church. Let's be careful what we say about the church. Let's speak well of the church, not in negative ways. I was speaking to someone just last night, and they were speaking of long ago. I mean, like 60 years ago. I'm an old man. They were talking about a preacher. They said, well, he was a good man, but I didn't like his preaching because he kept preaching about baptism and telling people they needed to be baptized. Well, that's what we ought to do. We ought not to be ashamed of that. People need to know how to be saved. And so that doesn't please God. Let's seek to speak in a way that pleases God. Verse 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their own sins alway. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Now we know God gets mad at people who forbid us to speak the gospel of Christ. If we're speaking the gospel of Christ and we're doing so in a proper manner, we're mentioning sin and we're talking about false teachers or whatever, don't forbid the preacher to preach. That's what's wrong with the church today. People, don't preach on that. You'll upset someone. That's not politically correct. Don't preach on that. Well, that's not how the church operates. We don't forbid people to preach the wonderful gospel of Christ. Yeah, but they're going to upset someone. Well, we're not here to please men. They may get upset. We're not trying to upset them. Jesus wasn't trying to upset people, but they got very angry with him. Stephen, they became so angry with Stephen, they gnashed on him with their teeth. Isn't that something? You think he was trying to rile them up? I don't. But verse 17 says, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Great desire. We ought to desire one another. Desire members of the church of Christ. What a wonderful fellowship we are in. We are in the greatest fellowship in all the world. Verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians 2. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. We're in a world where Satan impacts people. He's impacted the leaders of North Korea. They're cruel and bitter. And cause bitterness upon their people. Satan can hinder us. We are standing against principalities and powers, spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places, Ephesians 6 and verse 12. We have a real Satan that we're standing against. Verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown or rejoicing? What causes us to have hope and joy and rejoicing. What is it? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Beloved, we ought to be so glad to be in the church of Christ. It is a joy and a blessing and an honor. We have the greatest blessings in all of the world. What a challenging life we have to live. Let's support one another and not be against one another. What a wonderful life we live. What a challenging life. What a wonderful life of love and kindness and faithfulness the Bible teaches us to live. But you know, this verse says here in verse 19, are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? We are looking forward to the end. We anticipate the glorious end when Jesus Christ will come back. I'm thankful that we've had a chance tonight or today to talk to one another and to study about 1 Thessalonians chapters 1 and 2. What a great passage this is to teach us how to be a Christian, how to please God. Continue to study the book of 1 Thessalonians, and if you have a chance, you can join us again next week. We look forward to that. My name is Richard Massey. I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ. We're located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. We have a website. Please look us up and come to see us if you're ever in our area. We hope to be with you again in a time of Bible study here on the Gospel Radio Network. Until then, God bless. Have a great afternoon.